Our gospel reading today opens with an account of the disciples' return after they had previously been sent out by Jesus. And it follows the story of last week's story, the unpleasantness of John's beheading. And what we get today, we start with this story of needing for rest, but we're going to skip two huge big stories, and that's the feeding of the 5,000 and what I like to call surfing Jesus, Jesus walking on the water. So you might take those as your, put that on your summer reading list to explore those. But today we want to take a look at this thing called celebrity. Crowds rushing to be by Jesus, to wanting to touch even the fringe of his cloak. So what does that mean to be listening to God's call and then being sent out into mission and to come back? So I've asked two of our congregational members, Julie Murray and Bethany Lewis, to help me deliver today's message. So here's the setup. You're going to see some pictures on the screen from the Dominican and Guatemala. And you're going to hear their story. But first, I want to just frame it with a little bit from Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is a fast-paced gospel. It's the shortest of all four gospels. And many things happen, and the word is used immediately. Jesus calls his disciples, and they immediately get up and go. And it's a striking shift to what is happening today in our gospels. Jesus is calling his disciples to come away with me and have a rest. And I think that's so fitting for our summer, right? We need this wonderful invitation of rest. After all, they have to be resourceful in their going out, and they've had to rely on many other people. And so that's a lot of work to go into a foreign country or to go into a place you've never been. And so this idea of resting is important. When they are sent out by Jesus, they're told, you know, take no money, take no food, take no extra undies, take nothing for your journey, but to go out, and that they are to spread the message that people are to repent and turn to the gospel. And we're told along the way that they cast out demons and they cure many of them. It's not the instruction I gave Bethany and Julie when they went out to cast out demons. But Jesus and his disciples never get that vacation time. And it might seem like a small point, but the success of the disciples in their ministry is not measured by simply how much they accomplish. And that's true when we do works and mission work. When we are sent out on our own, we come back and we reflect on that time. And it's the same in the gospel. It's not a matter of how much they accomplish, but Jesus recognizes the need for rest. And this is the relationship that we have with God, too. We have this relationship of resting, hearing, and then being sent out. And it shapes our call. So with that in mind, I'd like you to welcome our first speaker, Bethany Lewis.
Good morning. I'm Bethany, and I have a wonderful husband and three children here, a part of this congregation for many years. Our kids are 16, 13, and 10 right now. So for the last 16 years, I have been a stay-at-home mom, which of course means that I really do anything but stay at home. That being said, all of those volunteer opportunities, like going to school, being a room mom, being on the PTO board, here at church, teaching Sunday school and Bible school and leading a small group, these things are starting to change for me now that the kids are getting older. 4 years ago, I started substitute teaching again in the district, and I was debating about whether it was the right time or not, whether I should get a hand back in, see what I was ready to do or where God was calling me to be. It seemed like the right time. Our youngest was in second grade. The kids were kind of able to take care of themselves a little bit better, and I had the best of all worlds. I could teach and enjoy that experience with adults and children and still be available to my family. As our kids have grown, my role has changed, as every parent's role does, and perhaps now my title really should be unofficial Uber driver. Anyone relate? That being said, these last couple of years, there's been a stirring inside of me, a wondering of what's next? What's my next step? Where is God calling me to go or to be or to do? This past fall, our youngest daughter suffered a dance career-ending injury at all of 10 years old. It has turned out to be a tremendous blessing because that allowed us to then return to an opportunity for family dinner and time to play and time to, say, maybe reorganize my kitchen. Who knows? With the busyness of life over the last 10 years, it was a struggle to hear what God was saying. And with this fall, this opportunity for quiet came into our lives. Just as Jesus advised the disciples in the Gospel from Mark, I needed a place to go away to, for my life to quiet down, to be able to breathe in what an understanding of my next step might be. I'd heard of a teacher friend of ours participate with an organization called Engage to go and teach teachers in a different part of the world. And I thought, that sounds kind of interesting. Well, then sure enough, a few months later, a group from our church, seven women, traveled to Peru to teach a vacation Bible school and empower the people in Peru to create their own opportunities to teach their children. Again, interesting. This past Christmas, I had an opportunity to chat with Nancy Cotney. And for those of you that know Nancy, she is a well-respected teacher in District 220, recently retired, but also an incredibly valuable leader and part of our Atonement Board here at our church. Nancy is an amazing person. And as we talked, she shared that she was heading up a team of teachers to go to the Dominican Republic this summer with Engage. As we talked, I learned that her co-leader was in fact the teacher that I substituted most frequently for at Huff Street School. It seemed to me that God was being pretty clear in what my next step might be. The organization Engage is founded on the principle of building bridges and creating relationships between partners all across the world. We had an opportunity as educators to walk alongside the educators in the Dominican Republic to provide for them as they provided for us a learning opportunity. Many of the teachers we worked with had nothing more than a high school education, if that. And so what we felt like we might be able to do was see what they needed. What can we help with? What might we be able to bring? Maybe nothing. Maybe everything. Children are still children, no matter where they are, no matter the color of their skin, or the language that they speak, or the home that they live in. And teachers are still teachers, wishing to meet each child individually where they are and move them forward to grow and learn. We returned from our trip 3 weeks ago, and I'm not the same person I was when I left. I'd seen poverty in pictures, but I'd never seen it up close and in person. Before anything that we were able to do for these people, it became evident that their faith and their joy in life was going to be the gift that I came home with. They were incredibly inspiring, and it was humbling to walk among them for that short time. I'll be honest, my reentry into life into Barrington has been pretty challenging. You see, listening to, say, my neighbor complain that the landscapers didn't quite cut the bushes the correct way, or that perhaps the figurine broken by the cleaning lady wasn't such a tragedy, certainly didn't contain the same weight that it used to hold for me. I reminded myself, however, that everyone was not called to the same experience that I was called to. Life has basically unchanged for my friends and family here at home, while those of us who had the privilege of traveling this summer can never be the same. And that's okay. My worldview is different, and I hope that it will allow me to continue to listen to God's call. It takes courage, and it took a quieting of my life to be able to hear what he was asking me to do. That time in the desert to understand that call is now my opportunity. He's given me the privilege of now finding ways to be open to what's next.
So we have this tremendous image in our passage today. Mark 6, verse 34 reads, as he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I love that image. This large crowd impinging upon Jesus and his disciples, they had a plan to go away and rest. But what were they to do? They were coming at him, and he had compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And unlike John's gospel, in John's gospel, we hear these stories of the good shepherd. We hear images, and we know what it means for Jesus to be the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who knows and is known by the sheep. And most importantly, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But in Mark, it is different. Jesus shows compassion to these shepherdless sheep by teaching them many things. Both Bethany and Julie are teachers in their professional life. And that is primarily what they've been doing this summer, is they have heard, like Bethany said, accompanying, helping, teaching teachers how to go back and serve in their own communities. And that is a different shift than simply doing work for them. And so it's a remarkable way of thinking about ministry, education as an expression of compassionate evangelism. So now I'd like to call up Julie Murray.
Good morning. My name is Julie Murray. I have been a second grade teacher with a little bit of first grade experience for about 25 years now. The first time that I was called to serve with Engage was last summer. And I have to admit, I answered that call with a very impulsive yes. And I was very fortunate to have a family who supported my decision to go. I love to travel. I'm always up for an adventure, and it just seemed like the right thing to do. However, the hard part came after agreeing to go on the trip, when I had to figure out what I possibly had to offer to all of these teachers. And again, this summer, as we planned for our trips, impulsively I said yes, and again that panic came back. But always the answers come, and we figure it out. I want to share a little bit about Guatemala City. In Guatemala City, there is a massive garbage dump, and thousands of people live on the outskirts of the garbage dump and inside the garbage dump. Most people work as drivers or assistants to the drivers. Many people go into the dump and sort through the trash to pull out glass and plastic and metal or other housewares that can be cleaned and either reused or resold. Outside of the dump, there are piles of garbage bags filled with things that people have pulled out to recycle. There is no formal recycling program. This is how it happens. Potter's House, who we work with in Guatemala City, has been there for about 30 years. And their primary mission has been to build healthy relationships within the community of the garbage dump, among the family members, and also to build healthy relationships with God. Potter's House provides meals and health care, improved housing, and education. As Engage, when we travel there, our primary goal is to provide professional workshops for teachers. And this summer, we provided six workshops to about 125 teachers. And as always, we wondered, will they come? And they do. We give the teachers strategies to keep the students engaged and learning and wanting to come to school, as a lot of students there leave school before finishing sixth grade. We also travel to both the public and the private schools just to get a better idea of what the conditions are in the schools in Guatemala. And my very favorite part of our trip is when we take prayer walks. And we actually go into the garbage dump community. And we bring backpacks to children who are part of the Potter's House program, filled with school supplies and toothbrushes and shampoo. And it's in the middle of this trash dump, with its smells and its flies and everything else that you can imagine a trash dump being, that I've met some of the most grateful, God-centered, and welcoming people. We laugh and we cry and we pray together. And this is my time when I'm at rest. All of the clutter and the distractions of my life disappear in those moments. Last year, after my first trip to Guatemala, as we were leaving, one of the Potter House liaisons said to me, "You know, we have a lot of people who come here, and they serve and they do great things. But Engage came back." And it was exactly then that I knew that I would become back again this summer. As we read today in Ephesians, in the second chapter, verse 19, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." I can say now that I have, and probably always have had, family in both Guatemala and in the Dominican Republic. And the next time that I impulsively say yes to a trip, I'll have family wherever that trip takes me to.
So as I look out among you, congregation, I know many of you have served as well, whether it's our young folks and their chaperones in South Dakota, whether it's here in our church. We have folks that come in, and we serve each other. We serve out into the community, many organizations, LSSI, Holy Family. And when you go into those roles of serving, you are recognized as an outsider, and sometimes you're recognized as a celebrity. I know that was true when we went to Peru. They knew us as Chicas Americanas, and they wanted to take our picture. They were very eager to take our picture. And I think of that because in the story today, Jesus and his disciples are heading into this other land there in the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the people are rushing to see him. They're rushing. They know that Jesus is around, and people immediately recognize him. And I think, how did they recognize him? How did they know? Was he known as a celebrity? Had he walked a few yards on the water and people had heard that story? Had they seen drawings or pictures of him posted in the marketplace? Or is this scene more like at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus calls his disciples, and without any apparent previous knowledge, they recognize Jesus because we're told they left immediately. They followed him. Don't you wonder what they recognized in Jesus to immediately follow him? It's remarkable that none of the Gospels provide a physical description of Jesus. We really don't know what he exactly looked like. And we'll never be able to pin him down by the virtue of his appearance, but rather we always have to recognize Jesus for who he is and what he does. So celebrity, it's not what you think. And perhaps the Gospels are silent on appearance, a quality that we so often associate with our modern-day celebrity. What do they look like? I believe that more than miracles and healings that Jesus performed or the things he taught, it was actually the gift of faith that makes Jesus a celebrity. The Spirit of God in me recognizes the Spirit of God in you. Faith, a gift that is freely given to us by God. It's what gives us the ability to recognize the one who died on the cross as Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. It's what compels us to go into the world, to serve one another, so that we may lift up our brothers and sisters, so they may serve the very populations that they live among with. And as I think about this way of serving and celebrity, I'm reminded of one of my all-time favorite songs, Marty Haugen's song, "Healer of Our Every Ill." Most of you know it. And so I close with the words as a prayer from the fourth verse. "You who know each thought and feeling, teach us, God, all your way of healing. Spirit of compassion, fill each heart. Spirit of compassion, fill each heart." May that be our prayer this day, as you take some time to be with the one who loves you completely. And may our hearts be filled with compassion and rest to know where the Spirit is calling you towards action in our world, for there are so many who are in desperate need of accompaniment and love. Amen.